Hi, this is Hattie Hart with the Anonymous Us Project. Today we have three stories for you. The first two are both written by donor-conceived individuals, and the third and last story of the day is written by the parent of a donor-conceived child. Our first story is entitled, You Are You. I can't recall when I was told I was adopted. I seemed to always know. It didn't make my teenage years easy for myself or my parents, as the most bitter wound I could inflict in a fight, usually about stupid teenage things, was, You're not my real parents anyway. That wound cut deep in my parents and myself, but I didn't realize it at the time. I felt they loved my brother, their natural child, more than me. I thought I'd been given up by people who didn't love me enough to keep me. I felt that I never quite belonged, and to this day, that feeling still shadows me to a small degree, but I'm okay with that now. When I was young, I desperately wanted to know who I looked like, whose talents I'd inherited, who was thinking about me while I was wondering about them. Who could be cold enough to give up a baby? When I turned 18, I was fortunate to be able to make contact with my natural family. Most of them. I learned my mother had died 6 years after I was born. But I met my father, a full and a half sister, grandparents, and a little brother who came after that. For them, I'd been missing for the previous 18 years. My full-blood sister and grandmother thought I'd move in with them. But I had lived 18 years of life already, and was me, not missing, not lost, not abandoned, but wanted. Given to a family with one son who wanted a complete family with two children. I learned I was given up because my far too young parents' relationship had irretrievably broken down. And my mother was very sick. They thought I was young enough to have a new life, and that I would have a better life if I was adopted. My sister, a year older, stayed with the family and ended up living with our grandparents. I like most of my original family, but would probably not have chosen them to be friends if I'd met them another way, as we don't have much in common. And through my sister, I got to see what life would have been like if I'd stayed. And I still keep in touch with them, so I know even more of what life for me could have been like. And while the life I had wasn't perfect, it was better for me that I was brought up the way that I was. While a lot was lost and can never be recovered, and there is a history I'll never know, a mother I'll never meet, a bond that will never be as deep as it should have been, and some scars from spending so long feeling unwanted by my first family, in the end, I've turned out okay. I'm pretty happy overall with who I am as a person. I'm not perfect by any means, neither is my life. But I'm strong, independent, caring, loving, empathetic, and a whole heap more. And a big part of me was shaped by being adopted. I thought for a long time that that had meant part of me was missing. And that all the things I didn't know were major determinants in my life. But, more than 20 years after having many of the questions that tortured me when I was younger answered, I realized nothing was missing from me all along. I am a complete human being, molded by experience as a rock is altered by waves. And as long as I ensure that who I am is good and kind and makes a small but positive difference in this world, which parts of me came from where or who is ultimately not important. I am who I am, and what I do every day is the most important thing. I wish I could go back and tell my teenage self this to save her, and her parents, from lots of tears and angst. But even if I had the chance, I wouldn't, because then I wouldn't be me. And really, I wouldn't want to be someone else. So if you are an adoptee, a donor, an IVF baby, whatever, embrace you. Find the best in you and nurture that. Don't tie yourself up in knots wanting to know the past. Just be. Be you, and be someone you are proud and happy to be. The cells that started us off are only one tiny piece of us, as are the reasons we came about the way we did. Tiny pieces of the unique puzzle that is us. The whole is what we really are. Embrace you. You are unique and special. You have your whole life to be the person you want to be. Be someone you are proud of. Our second story is entitled, "Or Is It Me Being Selfish?" I'm an only child who lives with my single lesbian mother. I never really even had a father figure in my life. I was always surrounded by my mother's friends. I always thought it was sort of selfish of my mother to just one day decide she wanted to have a kid. We frequently talk openly about our situation, but she never mentioned her thought process or what persuaded her to bring a child into the world. It angers me, because I feel like I missed out on so many opportunities that children with fathers have. The thought of not having anyone to walk me down the aisle when I get married haunts me daily. My mother only had one brother, who had two children with his now ex-wife, which means that I have only one uncle and two cousins. When my mother dies, I will have three family members left. My uncle lives 600 miles away, and we were never close. Growing up without a father sucks. I can't really have this conversation with my mom without hurting her. If my mom and I ever have a disagreement, I have no one else to talk to. I feel so alone. I feel like I have missed out on all of the little things, like having your dad give you piggybacks, or teaching me how to ride a bike, or getting overprotective when I show an interest in boys. I don't miss my donor personally. I mourn the loss of a childhood without a dad. Our third and last story of the day is entitled, Sperm Donor, the Best Decision I Ever Made. I have to say that using an anonymous sperm donor was the best decision I ever made. My toddler is doing very well and gets tons of attention from Mama, Grandma, and Grandpa. Some people would try to argue that you should not bring children into the world unless you have optimal conditions. At the same time, optimal conditions are in fact very rare. For instance, it is not necessarily optimal for people of below average intelligence to have kids. After all, their kids may inherit this, the heritability of IQ is quite high. After all, their kids may inherit this. The heritability of IQ is quite high. It could be argued that people who have diseases like diabetes or cancer running in their families should not have kids. After all, the kids might inherit these as well. Obesity runs in a family. Should obese people be told that they shouldn't have kids? Only in a fascist type of regime would people go around trying to block other people from having kids simply because the conditions involved are not the most optimal. People in any free-thinking society, in fact, have a right to do things that may be less than perfect. I would therefore not discourage any single mom from having kids if she wants to. Plenty of other people are less than perfect. Those are all of our stories for today. I just want to thank you guys for writing in and for being brave enough to share your journeys with us. Your stories are always very, very powerful, and we appreciate them. I will see you guys a few Mondays from now. This is Hattie Hart with the Anonymous S Project.